Hey, everybody, Rob here, and I just wanted to give you a heads up before you listen to our podcast about why a Survivor fan might want to check out Big Brother this summer, that when Jordan and I recorded this podcast last night, we described what the Big Brother week is like, and we actually found out word this afternoon that, according to the Hollywood Reporter, that the Battle of the Block is not going to be a part of Big Brother 18. So just a little bit of an update to the podcast that you're about to hear. When we describe the Battle of the Block, you can ignore that, but I'll leave it in there just for the education as to what we went through in Big Brother 16 and Big Brother 17. And we don't know what they're replacing the Battle of the Block with. We will find out next Wednesday night in the Big Brother 18 premiere. So we've got a quick word coming up from Wix.com, and then we'll talk about why you might want to check out Big Brother this summer.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisterino here with a special edition of Rob Has a Podcast. For quite some time, I have wanted to do a show such as this where we got to talk about why a Survivor fan may want to check out the Big Brother. And here to join me is a person who is not only a Survivor fan, but a Big Brother fan and a Big Brother Canada former contestant, the host of the reality TV Happy Hour. It's Jordan Parhar. Jordan, how are you?
Rob, I'm great. Thanks for having me back. I'm going by a new name on RHAP. Please refer to me as the Roman Reigns of RHAP. That's what I had someone recently tell me that's my title, or it should be that. And I was so honored. I could not believe it that I was compared to a WWE superstar.
Yes. All right. Well, we're not trying to convince people to get into wrestling or anything like that. Now, I need to be serious here for a minute.
Okay.
I feel like that this is a podcast which I feel like is going to have some evergreen appeal. I'm hoping that maybe like a year or two or even 3 years down the road, somebody might send this other person a link to say like, hey, you should check out Big Brother here. Listen to this. And I do want to try to keep this somewhat abbreviated. I don't want to scare people off where the introduction to why you should watch Big Brother is like 2.5 hours on why you should get into Big Brother, because that is even just as intimidating as the Big Brother season, which is quite lengthy.
Yeah, I mean, if we really wanted to do that, we would have just done a Happy Hour podcast where we rank all of the reasons why with myself, Taryn, Alex, and Brent. And probably would have gone 3.5 to 4 hours. So yeah, none of that today. We'll be brief.
Right. We just want to sort of give you an overview, and then hopefully that opens up the door to your Big Brother fandom. Hashtag JTT. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and talk about all of these things going on for Big Brother. And of course, Jordan, as a former Big Brother Canada contestant, which is a little bit different than a Big Brother US, we are on the precipice of Big Brother 18 here in the US, which kicks off this Wednesday night on June 22nd, a 2-hour premiere. And we're very excited to begin our coverage on RHAP, where we will be live after every single Big Brother episode, about 40 episodes, which will conclude the night of the Survivor Millennials versus Gen X premiere.
Woo, yeah, I can't wait. Such a great season. Old versus young too. That's really, yes, a theme that I was wishing I could see again.
Okay, so let's start to talk about this idea of, I feel like that there are a lot of people that are Survivor fans who have found the podcast over the years and are either like, I watched Big Brother a long time ago, I never got into it, or I've been thinking about it, but it seems intimidating for some reason. There's so many episodes. I don't know. Do I have to watch all of them? And maybe some people are sort of like feeling left out of all this. But It's like, boy, I would like to have a podcast to listen to every 2 or 3 days as I'm driving to work. So maybe it's worth it to check out just to get in to some extra podcasts to have. Because, you know, a lot of these shows that you listen to, these other podcasts, they can slow down in the summer. Not us. We're ramping it up.
Ramping it up with the BB coverage. Yeah. And Rob, if you don't mind me jumping in here, I got a question from Josh Wiggler.
Yes.
Before we started recording. And yeah, he basically asked that same question. He just said, hey, can you touch on this in the podcast, guys? Biggest question that I'm sure I'm not alone in asking is, do I have to watch all 3 episodes a week? It's such a heavy commitment, and that's been my biggest hangup by far. Is there a more new user-friendly way of watching the show, catching a certain episode, then pairing it with podcasts or something like that? Or do you have to go all in? And to that, I say, I mean, it depends, but I think with the podcast, and we'll get into it a little bit more, I really do think that you don't, I mean, really the biggest benefit of Big Brother is like what Rob just said. There are lots of podcasts you can listen to as long as you kind of just familiarize yourself with it at the beginning of the season and you maybe watch an episode once or twice a week. I think you can definitely keep up to date with the podcast because Rob and the live feed crew do such a good job of covering yeah. it. If not, I mean, honestly, I would just say it's one of those things. You know that old saying, just take it one day at a time. I would just start the season, try it. Yes, it seems daunting. Okay. 3 episodes a week, but you know, ask yourself this, if there were 3 Survivor episodes a week, would you watch Survivor all the time? Probably. Right?
Let me come in here and let me add to this. Do you have to watch all 3 episodes a week to know what's going on? Absolutely not.
No.
Yes. Here's why. Because Big Brother is on the great CBS network, the Tiffany network, and has many viewers, which are not what we would call Generation X's, but maybe what we would even call baby boomers. And what Big Brother will especially do is over-explain every single thing that is happening or has already happened numerous, many, many times to the point that before every episode, previously on Big Brother, bunch of people moved into a house. There was champagne. People got keys. One group made an alliance and tried to get the other people out, but then the other group found out about it. They will reset everything. And then, unlike in Survivor, that there are often flashbacks on Big Brother where they will show you things that already happened. Typically, they will go to black and white. And so, like, let's say that there is some conversation, there's some big altercation, like, I hate you, I hate your guts. And you missed that episode? Well, when the person is in the diary room talking about, like, I'm really still upset about that thing that she said, and then they will cut to the incident that you need to know. So there are flashbacks in Big Brother. So you really, they know it's the summer. They know very few people are keeping up with this show 3 nights a week. So don't let that, oh, I might miss an episode and I don't want to catch up, I'll be lost. Look, it's a thing where you do not have to worry about that. And if you did miss an episode, you can sort of just like fast forward through some sort of a challenge or stuff like that. You could probably watch Big Brother, what you need to know in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, Rob, I probably shouldn't be admitting this to my boss, but like during Big Brother Canada 4, I was away for a week and there was a week that I missed and I had to watch 3 episodes and catch up on them. I watched all 3 episodes in 20 minutes and I caught up. So, I mean, it's possible. Another thing you didn't even mention, Rob, that I think that a lot of people complain about is that, you know, during these competitions, you see Survivor, okay, Jeff Probst comes out and he'll say, okay, guys, come on in, guys. And then he'll explain the challenge and, you know, he'll talk about how you have to, okay, now for this challenge, you have to balance 3 balls on this disc as long as you can. And then, you know, they'll get into the challenge. On Big Brother, that will happen. But then after that, it'll cut to the diary room and somebody will say, so for this challenge, what I have to do is I have to stand outside in the sun for as long as I can, holding 3 balls on this disc. And it's like, we just heard the host of the competition explain what's going on. So that's another thing.
Yes, Gordon, this has gotten incredibly meta that you have now begun to over-explain my explanation that Big Brother over-explained. So you are just resetting the same exact thing that we just said. So that we are getting people ready. for Big Brother.
Well, it would not be a proper Jordan Parhar podcast if I didn't over explain something. So yeah. I had to. I couldn't help myself.
Okay. So maybe let's just sort of set up what the Big Brother week is like and then get into the differences between that and the Survivor game for people who are truly uninitiated in how this all works. So the Big Brother week is set up where it repeats, where in Survivor you have the typical episode cycle in a traditional Survivor game, which is 3 days of there is a reward challenge, then there's a middle day, and then on the third day there's an immunity challenge followed by tribal council. The Big Brother round is set up over the course of a week, which begins on Thursday, which is eviction night, which is the night somebody goes home, followed immediately by a head of household competition. Now, unlike Survivor, where these immunity challenges can be grueling, sometimes the head of household competition is just people guessing a number, or it's really often an unimpressive thing. Sometimes it'll be an endurance thing, but for the most part, it's like, okay, everybody rolls a ball down the hill, and whoever's ball goes in the highest number hole, that person is the head of household for the week.
Yeah, or you know, you have to stand on, or you have to hang on to a thing while some machine ejaculates things on you. It's a complete joke compared to Survivor in terms of the challenges, for sure.
Yeah, in Big Brother, you know, the veto challenges tend to be the more grueling ones and the more taxing ones. But we'll get into that in a minute. Also, there are often a lot of ejaculating machines of things that just are spraying things into the air. But more on, don't concern yourselves with that. So the one person is the HOH, except over the last couple of years, there is a new twist, which we do expect to come back, called the Battle of the Block, which means that two people on Thursday night get crowned the HOH. So there are two heads of household, or that for the people, they call two HOHs, but don't get Ian Terry started on that.
No.
Okay.
H is O-H, H-O-H. It's potato, potato, tomato, tomato.
The HOH has their own bedroom in the Big Brother house. And when there's two HOHs, that they each have their own room that's sort of upstairs and separated. They get a letter from home. They get like a whole prize package. But they have a very important responsibility. And that responsibility is to pick two people to be nominated in the Big Brother week. Those will be the two people that the rest of the house will vote on for eviction that week. Now, the way the Battle of the Block works is that each of the HOHs will pick two people to be nominated, and then those two pairs are going to square off in another competition, with the losing pair remaining on the block and the winning pair having safety for the week.
I feel like we're already losing people because there's so many competitions, and this is why Battle of the Block is something I don't really enjoy, is just because
nobody likes Battle of the Block, for the record.
Nobody likes Battle of the Block. I mean, back in the day, it was, there's one HOH, they nominate two people. After that, we play one competition, which you'll touch upon in a little bit, the power veto competition. And then, you know, they'd have the vote and that was it.
Now we head into the Wednesday night episode of Big Brother, which features the power of veto competition. And the power of veto competition takes place between six people, which are the two nominees, the remaining head of household. Again, after the person who was dethroned as HOH, that person is gone and they are up for to be evicted as well for the week. So you have the remaining HOH, the two nominees, and then they pick three names out of a hat. It's very scientific.
Very, very scientific.
So then we have a competition between six people, and sometimes it's like a time trial, and sometimes it's some sort of an endurance competition or whatever little game they end up having. One person comes away as the holder of the power of veto. It could be one of the people that are nominated. It could be the HOH, or it could be one of those other three people that are playing. And then they have a decision to make to either use the power of veto to take themselves or somebody else off the block, or to not use the power of veto. So they get to change one of the potential nominees for the week, and then the nominees campaign as to why they should go and be taken off the block, or the HOH is like, hey man, don't use the power of veto. I'm gonna be really pissed at you this week if you use the power of veto. And then they decide what to do. And then Wednesday night is over and we head to Thursday night, which is eviction night. And then we will have usually a live eviction where the house guests will vote. And this season, a little bit of a twist, which I think could make it very compelling, that supposedly we are not going to give the house guests the vote total. It's just going to be me and Jordan are up on the block. Julie Chen will tell us on Thursday the house has voted. And Jordan, you are evicted from the house, because over the course of many Big Brother seasons, people sort of, okay, they know where the votes are going, and they just like, okay, well, I don't want to be one of the three people that's voting for the person who's going to stay. Let's all just vote for the person who's going home. Now there is much more of an opportunity for these hinky votes, for the vote to be a lot closer, people to try something, and Julie Chen will not out them by a vote of 8-3. Jordan, you are again evicted from the Big Brother house.
That's it. That phrase will never get old for me, Rob, getting evicted from the house. But yeah, that's what's it's fun, you know, that they're doing that this season. I think that will lead to some more blindsides and some more interesting weeks. And the blindsides are really common on Survivor. You see, you know, at least multiple blindsides per season. Big Brother, they're pretty rare. You don't really see them too often, just because every cycle is a week. So, you know, there's only two people up that are nominated. So it's either you or the other person that's going home. So hopefully that adds some intrigue to the season and makes things a little more dynamic.
Okay, so that's sort of the strategy of it all for Big Brother. Now, Jordan, do you feel like that is the strategy for you, the selling point of why people should watch Big Brother? Because I feel like I don't want to oversell that too much, because there is strategy that goes on, and there's probably going to be four or five super strategic, compelling moments that are going to happen over the course of the season. But that this is, if you are expecting the genius, that is not what you are going to see on Big Brother 18.
The genius, this is not. Big Brother is definitely a lot more, maybe it's like the drunk uncle version of the genius. It's definitely, you know, there is, I would say as a whole, if you just look at the games individually, I would say that Survivor, definitely the better show compared to Big Brother. But I would say that Big Brother, if you're just looking at it individually, I think Big Brother is the better game, just because, you know, there is more variance. You can't just make a massive alliance. You can't Boston Rob, Redemption Island, Pagong everyone, because there Derek. Is this, or, well, you can, it's just not as common. We don't see those happening. So, you know, you don't see those happening all the time. And the Derek thing happened because of Battle of the Block. So maybe, maybe they should just go back to the original format, just saying.
Okay. Let's go back to the game in a second, but I just want to like get people prepared for the fact that if you are expecting to come in, and I think this could be a turnoff for some people, because you're saying, hey, oh, I can't wait. This is going to be just like Survivor strategy. Here we go. And then hold on. Why are people in their bathing suits chasing beach balls around the house, and people crying over this girl doesn't like me and stuff like that? There is a game happening, but there is also a kind of a soap opera that's happening. There are a lot of like weird tics that people have, not like actual like insects, but like it was a storyline last season that there was this one guy in the house, James, that liked to scare people. And we spent a lot of time this last season of like watching him like hiding in the dark, waiting to jump out and scare people in the house. So you are going to see a lot more of the day-to-day lives of these people than you do see on a show like Survivor. Whereas we only have 42 minutes a week to explore this on Survivor, we are going to get a lot more of the malarkey going on in the Big Brother house over the course of this summer.
It sounds like a bunch of malarkey to me.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day when Big Brother's executive producer, or I guess their chief executive producer was Arnold Shapiro, the game was definitely more of a focal point. But since Alison Grodner took over in Big Brother 8, it definitely has shifted a lot more towards the, like you said, the nonsense factor. There is still a lot of the game is there. I mean, we've had some of the most strategic players ever in the Grodner era of the show. But, we don't see as many of those players come along as often as you would, on, say, Survivor. Whereas, know, usually there's one person driving every single season. Whereas for this, you know, there's a lot more seasons that are kind of Nicaragua-esque, right, if you will.
Things will get really wacky and weird over the course of the summer. At any number of points this season, people will be wearing animal leotards for a week at a time as a punishment. There will be a week where somebody will be dressed like a chicken and have to live life in the house. Not Mark the chicken. They will be walking around in some ridiculous costume for really no reason.
It's a punishment, Rob. It's a punishment.
And the players are almost excited about, like, oh, I got to wear the costume for the week. That people sometimes, that you'll have a punishment. You have to go in the backyard and kick a soccer ball 2,000 times in a row. There's just a lot of nonsense that Big Brother is putting out there. I mean, there is a robot that comes into the house and makes fun of the contestants every single summer, and it's the highlight of the summer. So there is a gravitas to Survivor where it takes itself very, very seriously. Big Brother is sort of the attitude is like, it's the summer, let's have fun. It's very much that the motif is beach balls and a pool party and noodles that you whack each other in the face with in the pool. And that is what Big Brother is about. And that is the backdrop at which a strategic game is being played. Whereas on Survivor, fire represents life. It's your life in the game. You're fighting for your own survival. There's medical evacuations. It is very, very serious. And then occasionally you have people like a Debbie or a Coach or a Philip who are wacky along the way, but that is the exception to the rule, whereas wacky is the world of Big Brother. And then from time to time, we're going to talk about the game that's going on.
Yeah, but I mean, for some people, I mean, you know, Survivor, you were just talking about it, it's so serious, but, you know, it's nice in the summer to kind of have a break from that, at least a little bit.
Sure.
With Big Brother, you're going to get at least one of these wacky types of characters on the show, or somebody who, you know, I don't know about you, Robin. I don't know about the people listening to this, but for me, some of my favorite people on reality TV on these types of shows are, you know, the people who are great at the game, who dominate the game. But the other people that I love are the people that are so bad at the game,
right,
that they are entertaining as hell. And that's what you see every summer on Big Brother. There is at least one person who is just a complete train wreck. This just no idea what they're doing. I mean, two summers ago, we had this guy named Devin Shepherd. Okay.
Yes.
And Devin,
no relation to Philip, but possibly maybe we should have looked into this a little bit more.
Maybe we should have. But the difference between Devin and Philip is that Devin, you know, Philip knows he's crazy. Well, maybe crazy is not the right word, because we don't want to get involved.
Yeah, let's
avoid that word with him. But you know what I'm saying. But like Devin, kooky, exactly. He plays it up a little bit with the whole specialist thing. Devin is this guy, this huge, retired.
He looked like The Rock.
He looked like The Rock, exactly. Former pro baseball player. Who comes in the house and he's just like, how would you describe Devin, Rob? He was just so amazing.
Yeah, he came in and he seemed like a perfectly normal person. But the thing about the Big Brother house is that it causes people to lose their mind incredibly quickly. And then they become paranoid and they start working on alliances. And word travels really, really fast in the house. And you will always have somebody in the first couple of weeks that just completely overplays and spirals out of control. But it's going to be very, very fun to watch somebody self-destruct. And I think it happens in a way where everybody is aware of it. And that's a little bit different than Survivor, where that really like one person is sort of the problem and tends to, get sent out. Whereas in the Big Brother house, for whatever reason, one person really just sends the house into turmoil for weeks on end.
Russell Hantz's brother was on this show back in the summer of 2012. Willie Hantz, the summer of Hantz. The live feeds were the greatest thing ever. Please, YouTube Willie Hantz and go watch him. And he's basically the epitome of what Rob was just describing. And you'll get Willie because he's just like Russell. And it's you'd get to see what it'd be like if Russell was playing a different game where, you know, it's not really a sprint to the finish. It's more of a marathon. And it's just epic.
Right. Because the best way to play Big Brother, in my mind, is to really sort of slow play it. It is a 90-day or not. This season it might actually be 100 days as opposed to the 39-day sprint, which is Survivor. And you still don't want to, you know, come out of the blocks going 100 miles an hour on Survivor. But somebody and a couple people, like, invariably will come out and be playing, you know, 300 miles an hour at the start. And often, because a lot of people sort of play it slow in the beginning, that person will often find themselves in the HOH position in the first week or two. And also, invariably, the power goes completely to their head. They get what we like to call the HOH-itis, where they're making all these deals and just completely overplaying their position and making all these enemies. And it's often that a person goes from being the most powerful person in the house to being out the door the next week.
Yeah, and if you have a chance, go watch Big Brother 14, Willie Hantz. That's exactly what happened. Yeah,
watch Big Brother next week. You'll see somebody. You'll see the same exact thing happen to somebody in the second week. There'll be somebody who's a super aggressive personality who feels like they have to take control, take this game by the reins, not the Roman reins, and they need to start to really, okay, if we don't make a move now, we're going to be screwed. And then they will, the power will go to their head, they will get into a big fight, and then they will be on the block and out the door the following week. But it's always very, very fun to watch. All right, Jordan, why don't you talk about the game a little bit that you tease that you feel like that in some ways it is a superior game to Survivor. Why do you say that?
Yeah, I mean, just because, again, there are so many different variables. We've got all these different competitions. We've got the, you know, the HOH, and, you know, the HOH power is, it's a unique power. It's different than, you know, the, you know, individual immunity on Survivor, in that if you win it, you can win it once. You can nominate two people for eviction, but then the next week you can't play. So, you know, you've got to really, if you win that power, you know, you are going to piss off somebody, because somebody that you nominate is going to stay in the game. And in order to survive, you've got to have a good social game. You've got to, you know, build relationships. You've got to play it right. You can't be overly aggressive like some of these other people who have flamed out in the past have done. So I think that's really interesting, because, and you can't just go on, oh, you can't be Joey Amazing. You can't win HOH every single week all the way to the end of the show, because you've got to sit out the next week. So I think that's a really fun aspect to it. And I mentioned briefly there is that, you know, the HOH competition, it's an individual competition. This is an individual game. It starts out on an individual basis, whereas Survivor, you know, we start with the, you know, the tribal game where, you know, you've got two tribes, you got to, you know, there's immunity challenges, and somebody from your tribe gets voted out each week. For this, you know, from tip off, everybody is playing against each other. It's basically the merge from day one.
Yeah.
And, you know, the merge is my favorite part of Survivor, just because there are so many different options. Anybody can go home. It's great. And that's basically, and the game can just shift so easily. So that's what I really like about this as well. And for players that, you know, like John Cochran in Survivor South Pacific, or, you know, even, you know, she wasn't really the greatest player, but even someone like Jatia on Survivor Kageon, she would not, I mean, she could have survived a few more weeks if it was an individual game from the start. She went home because they thought, okay, Spencer is going to be good in the challenges, so let's get rid of Jatia. She had some other stuff going on. But
I think that's maybe not the best example here. Okay. I think let's just go with that Cochran would not be voted out of the Big Brother house week for being a liability. You know, we did have you know, issues with people throwing microphones in the pool, and I feel like that's sort of like a cousin of pouring out the rice. So let's just not use the Jatia example.
I had to shoehorn Jatia into this podcast somehow. I've never done it before, so I tried. Didn't really go over so well.
You made a good point about how Big Brother starts, and it's like the merge of Survivor, where sort of everybody is sort of like scrambling and trying to find alliances at the merge. That's my favorite part of the Survivor game. And I also, I feel like the beginning of Big Brother to me is the most exciting part of the season, because you have all of these big eccentric personalities who you don't know what they're going to do. And that's, I think, that the live feeds are so much fun in the beginning of the season, because something is always happening somewhere. I feel like that Big Brother towards the end of the season can sort of begin to get a little dull, because you kind of know where everybody is and what everybody's doing. And there's, you know, five people in the house, really nothing that crazy tends to happen once you get to sort of like the dog days of the summer. But the beginning of the summer, it's just insane, because you have all these lunatics in the house with each other, and it can be a very, very fun start of the season. I feel like there's never been a bad start to the Big Brother season. Like, have the first 2 weeks of Big Brother ever been bad, Jordan?
No, I honestly, you know, nothing really comes to mind for me.
Maybe you could say there was one season in the beginning, the first 2 weeks were not great.
Big Brother 9?
I'm pretty sure, especially if you were watching Showtime back then, I think it was good. But but that being said, like, it always starts really well.
Yeah, and it's because, and again, this goes back to the casting of the show too, and I don't think we haven't really touched upon this too much, but Big Brother is cast, I think, differently than Survivor is. Survivor, you know, I feel like Survivor, you look at it and it's more so, okay, here's a cast of 20 people from different walks of life who have different stories and different things going on, and they're not really, you know, pigeonholed into one. You can't always point to somebody and say, oh, that's the, you know, bro guy this season, or oh, that's the old guy, or whatever. In Big Brother, though, you know, there's kind of these like distinct character types, and they're always kind of put on the show. Like, you always have, and you touched upon this in the preview show, you always have, you know, your big jock guy, you always have your pretty girl, you always have you know, sometimes they're just people who are just kind of like, I don't know, your Gen Cities of the world. Maybe someone like Paul this season would fit that role, who's kind of like an offbeat type of person, borrowing from the click from BB11. But you always have these different people, and they always don't really mesh with each other so greatly, so it always leads to drama, fighting, and chaos. And a lot of these people, you see it on Survivor, people don't have self-awareness on Survivor, but people really do not have any self-awareness whatsoever for the most part on Big Brother. And that can make for some epic television.
Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of young people, high energy people on Big Brother, and they are trapped in a box together. And so tensions are high, and fuses are short, and there's always going to be some fireworks early on. Jordan, really briefly, do you want to touch on any of the food issues that go on in the house?
In the house, so instead of Survivor, you know, Survivor, you don't have any food, obviously, because you're out in the wilderness. Big Brother, they got to change that up, so they got to make it hard on you somehow. So each week, there are have-nots, and these people have to live in a crappy room. It has a different theme every season, but usually, I don't know, it's one season it was airplane seats is what they had to sleep on. They've followed all these, last year it was dentist chairs, and then they have to eat bad food, so they have to eat slop.
This is where you kind of lose the Survivor fans, because they're used to, like, oh my god, they have to eat a cup of rice for the whole tribe, and they have nothing. Well, here you have to, when you are being punished, you have to eat food that doesn't taste that good. You can eat as much as you want, but it doesn't taste very good. You could make it into a cookie. You could put different toppings on it, but it's not very tasty.
Having to only eat oatmeal all the time like that, it was rough, man. It's so hard. Like, my body, like, I honestly, like, I lost, I think, like 2 pounds on it, man. It's not easy at all. So I don't know what you're talking about. It's just as hard, if not harder.
All right.
But for real, slop. Somebody, Edward Morris, asked in the question thread on the Facebook group for the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. He asked, "What does slop actually taste like?" For real, slop is actually pretty bad. It does taste like, it has the texture of oatmeal, and it just kind of tastes like garbage with like a mix of like really bad protein powder. So that's basically what it is. So I get why the house guests complain, especially because there's food around, good food around. I think that's also part of it as well. If there was nothing, I think that would kind of change it up. But certainly Survivor, way, way more difficult.
Okay, let's start to get into some of those questions, because I don't want to really go on too much longer on this, just sort of like whet the proverbial appetite on this. This is a good question. This is from Graham Gulitz, who wants to know, how essential do you think the live feeds are to the Big Brother experience? I never know whether to recommend watching old seasons without live feeds or a new season as it airs with the feeds. Of course, that the Big Brother house, I'm sure as many of you guys know, is monitored 24/7 by live feed cameras, which people on the internet can purchase a subscription to watch the live feeds and see what's going on in the house. I would recommend, if you are a newcomer to Big Brother, that you should not watch the live feeds, as they are not essential. And I know that I'm making three guys very upset by saying this, but they are not essential to your enjoyment of the season. Now, you can go ahead and watch live feeds, but I do know that for many people it tends to be a frustrating experience, because you will be seeing one version of events and the edited version of the show will not always correspond to what you saw with your own eyes in the house. And this has been known to drive many, many people into various states of distress.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. I got into the show just based on the edited TV show. I don't know a single person who their first season was like, yeah, I'm watching the show and live feeds and everything. It's kind of overkill if you do all that. Just understand the game first, watch the edited show, and then if you like it, next year, check out the live feeds and listen to the podcast. We'll give you updates on what's going on in the feeds.
Also, that in the past couple of years that there is a Big Brother After Dark, which airs on the Pop Network, which was formerly TVGN. I believe that airs from like 12 p.m. to 3 a.m. Eastern time, which is basically like 3 hours of just like pumped in like the feed from the house. And so you can just like DVR that. That's always a fun thing to have and just have it on during the day. If you don't want to pay for the live feeds, you can just watch a couple of hours of it every day if you were interested in that sort of thing. But it's definitely not necessary. And if you are just dipping your toe in the water, I would say don't go ahead and get the live feeds.
It'll just turn you off, I think, ultimately, to be real.
And of course, if you did want to get the live feeds, you can go to robinswebsite.com/live feeds for our link to get them through robinswebsite.com. I believe that at this time they are $5.99 a month and part of the CBS All Access, which allows you to watch a bunch of other CBS things in addition to the Big Brother live feeds. Okay, let's take another question. This is from Amy Shapiro, who wants to know, can you talk a little bit about how Big Brother is a play-along live game is different than Survivor? This is interesting, especially coming in on the heels of the winner edit discussion that we had so much during the Survivor season.
Yeah, I mean, there is, if you listen to the Edgic podcast with Zach Vossler that Rob, you recently did, that was great, by the way. Shout out to Zach. That's not a thing on Big Brother, because this show is happening as you're watching it every week. The week resets. We catch up with what's going on in the house. The edited TV show is behind what's actually going on in the house. But on Thursdays, it's caught up to right where things are. So there is no winner's edit. The show can't really, craft a narrative as to one person being the winner at the beginning, because they don't know who's going to win. I mean, it's really interesting to see as the show progresses throughout the season, because you'll see somebody like Caleb, who was on this season of Survivor, on his season of Big Brother. At the start of the season, Caleb was kind of, for the most part, Caleb was considered a joke. He was really edited as,
how dare you speak ill of the great Survivor Beast Mode Cowboy.
But it's true. I mean, he was delusional. He had no idea what was going on. He was following this girl Amber around, and it was a little
all right, well, let's not go too far down that.
Okay, but
make your point.
But okay, but that's how it started. But then by the end of the season, after Amber went home, this girl, Caleb's behavior, if you watch the live feeds,
right,
didn't really change too much. But
his
on the show,
arc changed. Yeah.
His arc changed from him being the idiot to, oh, Caleb's like the rootable hero. He's the good guy. He's going to save us from Frankie Grande and all the bad people in this house. And so that's what's really fun about Big Brother, is you see a change really happen throughout the course of the season. Survivor, you don't really see that too much, because they know the end result.
Edwin Johnson says, why are so many people yelling in their confessionals, Jordan?
This is something that, I mean, I don't know. I kind of think Dan started it in Big Brother 10, didn't he, Rob?
Is it true that they tell you, like, hey,
A lot of old people are watching, so just make sure you speak up so that the older people can hear what you're saying in the diary room.
I may or may not have heard that while I was in the DR, but yeah, that's an interesting thing. Again, I think this goes along with the evolution of the show. Back in the day when Arnold Shapiro was the executive producer, it was more of a, you'd go in the diary room, you would talk, you'd be like, hey, what's going on? I'm Dr. Will. I'm here doing my strategy. This is what's happening. Whereas, you know, as the show's progressed, it's become more wacky and over the top and crazy.
Wacky music. Like going back to like Survivor, we might see people like, first off, there's no sort of running commentary about like people describing what they were doing in the challenges as it's happening. We get a lot of that on Big Brother, and we get a lot of the players like using puns and like kind of like making jokes and talking about things and setting things up in the confessional, as we mentioned. And you wonder maybe like there might be at times like they might get fed a line here or there to say something that's like a kind of a corny joke in the diary room. So just like just know that that happens, and that's a thing.
Yes. You wonder, Rob, if that happens. It has to do, I think, with getting back to the initial question. I mean, it has to do with the energy. I think that's what they want. They want people to be excited. And I think if you go into the diary room nowadays and they say, okay, all right, Steve, describe that competition. And if Steve is like, you know, I just went out and here's this, I was in the backyard and this is this competition, he'd probably, you know, he may or may not hear someone tell him, you know what, Steve, if you want, maybe a little more energy. We want some more. And
well, let's go.
High energy sometimes translates to, at least a lot of times, at least we've seen on Big Brother, it translates to high volume. So I think that's where it comes from.
All right, Jordan, I just wanted to do sort of this quick synopsis of the show. Any other final thoughts about Big Brother?
I mean, the main thing that I would try to sell you guys on is that, you know, watching Big Brother, or at least trying to pay attention to it somewhat, gives you more Rob as a podcast. I think that's what we all want. I think everybody is an RHAP fan that's listening to this. And you're gonna get lots of more opportunities to listen to the podcast. And personally, Rob, I think you're at your best during Big Brother at a lot of times. Last summer, we saw you like never in the history of RHAP before this have I ever heard you call two people losers on the podcast before. But you get really fired up for Big Brother.
By the way, the person that I called a loser, spoiler alert, then went on to win the show 3 weeks later. But these things are happening in real time, and I get emotional during the Big Brother season. And I think that, you know, I've seen this described in a lot of different places where, you know, I tend to be very rational during the Survivor season, and I'm very measured during the Survivor season. I think part of it has to do with that there are people who are listening to, at any given time, you know, a bunch of different people from the cast of the Survivor season are probably listening to the podcast, or may, you know, then have something to say. So I try to give the benefit of the doubt on Survivor. I try to sort of look at things from like, okay, well, both sides, because I tend to hear from the survivors, but the Big Brother people are locked away. And so we can be a little more loosey goosey with our coverage.
Yeah. I mean, and if you made it all the way to the end of this podcast, you can tell just by listening to Rob talking on this podcast, like Rob, like your attitude towards Big Brother, it's more laid back and it's more fun and it's awesome. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with Survivor. I think the Survivor coverage is great. But again, like how you're comparing the two shows, it's just different. And I think it's a lot of fun. I love the Big Brother season. I love listening to the podcasts. And I think you guys should definitely check out the first week. Take it one step at a time. I think you're going to enjoy it. You'll at least like the first week. If you don't like the first week, tweet me and yell at me on Twitter, and I'll take the heat from you. But seriously, I think you'll like it. It's entertaining.
130%.
Right. Could we do a quick game back and forth right now of let's talk about real Big Brother twists that people who had no knowledge of Big Brother would think were something fake and completely made up.
Okay. So how do we want to play this?
So identical twins played the game as one person for 4 weeks and switched back and forth in two different seasons.
Yeah, that's true. That happened on Big Brother.
Yeah.
Yes. Last summer, it was fun.
The second time they've gone to that well. And it was discovered very quickly early on. Okay, give me something else, Jordan.
Okay, there was one season where there was a twist where one house guest was getting paid to sabotage everybody's game. And that was the big twist of the season. And they would come on a loudspeaker in front of the whole house and talk with this like muffled voice and say,
yes, hello, I'm the saboteur and I'm coming to get you and I'm going to screw up your game.
And basically it was like Bane from Batman. And that person was supposed to be the most diabolical super genius of all time. And the house guests would never figure out who it was. And the person was voted out and found out in the first week.
Yeah, and voted out. One time there was a twist which was extremely vague, and it was that celebrities were going to come over into the house every week, and a celebrity was going to run everything that was in control, everything going on in the house for the entire week, until the twist was just unceremoniously abandoned without any mention of why or that it was over or letting the viewers know after the third week. And it was just like, well, like after it was the first week, well, then Phil Kogan took over, then Kathy Griffin, then Rob Gronkowski, and then like the 90s took over, like just like the decade, not even like a bunch of stars from the 90s. And then it just went away and they never mentioned that, what happened. And it had this song.
Get ready for a takeover.
You have another quick one, Jordan?
Another quick one. Imagine this, Survivor fans. There was, Boston Rob is playing Survivor, but every single week when he goes to Tribal Council, he doesn't get to choose what he does. Instead, America tells him what to do, and he has no say, and contractually, he's obligated to do what America tells him to do. That happened on a season, and the guy almost won.
Yeah. And he lost the game to somebody who was playing the game with their daughter, and he didn't know, and she didn't know that they were both going to be in the house that summer. So it's crazy. It's crazy. All right. So just go into it with an open mind. That do not expect that it is something that is going to be, it is not going to be a life or death struggle like Survivor, that it is going to be something which is a fun, and there's going to be strategy. I mean, there are some fantastic players. I hope that, you know, we didn't oversell the goofy Dr. Will Kirby, Dan Giesling, Derek Levasseur, Danielle Reyes. I mean, there are some of the greatest reality TV strategists in the world, Jordan Parhar, that have ever played this game. And so there will be at times, you know, one or two real diamonds in the rough. And then there's going to be a lot of other wacky stuff happening along the way. And it's three nights a week, and it's very, very fun. And it starts next week.
It's going to be great. I'm excited. Let's get this thing rolling, Rob. Week one is it's right around the corner. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
And if you're missing Survivor this summer, this Big Brother, you get on this Big Brother train Wednesday night. You get off Survivor premiere night. We are going right from the first Tribal Council into the finale of Big Brother 18.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, it's crazy to think that's how long the season is, but just don't think that far ahead yet if that seems like a lot, because, I mean, it kind of is, but we'll help you get through it. Our RHAP will hold your hand.
Let me just mention real quick, one of the other shows you could hear on Podcast One. If you're a fan of the Foo Fighters or the Dead Peasants, we've got some news for you. Chris Shiffett, that he is the guitarist for those bands. He has his own podcast on the Podcast One Network, Walking the Floor, where he talks to musical guests, writers, athletes, and artists. Recently, he talked to Sam Palladio from Nashville, and they talked about how a Brit got the gig of playing a Texas country singer. You could check it out on podcast1.com or download the free mobile app now. All right, Jordan, what's the hashtag?
I have nothing. I don't know.
How about just if we convince you, just do like hashtag I'm in.
Hashtag I'm in. And then what if we did not convince you? Hashtag I'm out. I'm out. Okay. So what should we make another bet like we did during Big Brother Canada 4, Rob, in terms of me being on the voicemails next season for Survivor?
No. Let's not put any stakes on this.
Okay.
All right. And if you have any other questions and you want to ask us, I'm at Rob Cesternino. Jordan is at Jordan Parhar. That I will be live 3 nights a week with our live feed correspondents. Alex, Brent, and Taryn will be every single episode talking about what happened. We will give you a spoiler warning before we talk about what's happening on the live feeds on the podcast. And then away we go. Jordan will be on the reality TV Happy Hour talking about all this stuff as well. What are you going to do that show? Mondays this summer?
Yeah, so we're going to be live every Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. It's just going to be all of the live feed correspondents and I. And we're just going to be talking strictly about the live feeds, what's going on in the feeds, stuff that we didn't get a chance to, or they didn't get a chance to talk about on the main feed. So, you know, if you are more of a casual fan, then maybe not necessarily the podcast for you. But if you want to catch up on what's really going on behind the scenes and beyond the edited TV show, then I would recommend you check it out. Also, we got a rankings podcast coming up this Sunday talking about the top 10 worst moves in the history of Big Brother. Right. So check that out.
And even if you're a Survivor super fan, it's very okay to be the C word and be a Big Brother casual. That's fine. You can be no, we're not going to judge you. You don't, just because you get really into Survivor, you don't have to be as into Big Brother. Okay.
No. We've talked about all the reasons why you don't have to be. It's a much more. Yeah. I mean, I feel like too, like, I don't know. I mean, there are certain communities where people are like, oh, you're casual, blah, blah, blah. But like for Big Brother, I mean, at least in terms of, you know, Rob as a podcast. Okay, maybe I should take that back.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine in this community. You're safe if you're casual.
One last caveat also. If you do watch Big Brother and then you get really into it and then there's some twist or something crazy happens like 10 weeks down the road, just don't get mad at me. I'm just here. Look, sometimes crazy stuff will happen on this show and you can't predict it. Some crazy people get really worked up and I have no control. Okay.
Get mad at me though. I can take it.
Take it out on Jordan.
Yeah. Just tweet me.
All right, I got to keep this under an hour or I'm going to turn people off. So thank you guys so much for checking this all out. If you missed our interview with Nick Majorano, check that out as well. That was a lot of fun. Hope you guys are enjoying everything we're doing this summer between all the off-season Survivor coverage and then the Big Brother premiere coming up this Wednesday. If you want to check out the cast as well, we did our Big Brother 18 cast assessment, which you can also find on robhasawebsite.com and on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.
Hashtag I'm out.